Hi guys!
Hello!
And welcome to Scareberia.
Episode 24, I think.
I just had a brain fart right now.
That's why there's two of us.
What was my next word? What's my name?
It's that kind of day here in Scareberia, friends.
Oh yeah. It's been a fun day. As you guys know, we were teachers and I had to go in today to start setting my classroom. And make a long story short, unrolled my carpet and found a great surprise. Found a dead mouse.
Yeah, that's a great way to start the year.
I have no idea what the omen means, if it means anything.
Circle
means nothing.
Life.
The little mouse was so sad. I felt more sad for the mouse than my actual issue of, you know, finding a dead mouse. But anyhow, I digress. So that was my day today. Oh,
someone's calling Grace.
That's actually my text message, guys. It's funny.
That's amazing.
I know. It just happened. That was my day today.
It's a very you way to start the school year. It's just very you way.
Welcome back. Here's a dead rodent. Oh, thank you.
You're like, let me get my little, what's it called when the people take the animals that have passed on naturally and they stuff them and they preserve them? Let me get my taxidermy kit out.
Oh. Hey, I want to take that.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I was actually looking at taking a taxidermy class with this awesome lady in Hamilton. She offers it.
Why not? That's so girly.
So I actually might take it. So
that could be our merch. Taxidermy by Grace.
Chris called me Norman Bates, so.
He obviously has it wrong because you're not talking to your deceased mother and owning a hotel.
Yeah, but he does the taxidermy stuff, so.
I'm trying to help.
Work. It's okay. We laugh. Hey, I do remind him every single day.
Yeah.
He's the one who proposed to me.
He
asked me to marry
him.
That
is true.
He could have gotten out of this, but anyhow, I digress. So, welcome to Scareberia. So, we're excited because...
Yeah, we got some good topics today.
Good topics, but also because school year, I like to think it's like a new year as well.
Yeah, new year always starts for me in September.
Yeah, so I'm excited because we have a couple... We have... Very cool guests and
cool guests coming up.
Topics that we are going to be covering. So
yeah, we do. I still have to email one of them to see if they can come.
It's okay. But yeah, we have, the next few weeks and the next few months, we actually have a lot of cool guests coming up.
Yeah. So get ready. Tell your friends.
Mm-hmm. Tell your mom.
Tell your mom.
Tell the mouse. Or your dead taxidermy stuffed animals you have made laying around.
Your imaginary friends.
The ghost that's in your bed. I don't know. I don't judge.
The random cute person down the street you're trying to get an in with. There you go. Look at that. We could be matchmakers.
Hey, yes. If you guys ever get hooked up because you guys listen to our paranormal podcast and you guys went to the paranormal and you happen to like come across like, hey, do you subscribe area? And they're like, I do. And then you hear like birds fluttering. Invite us to your wedding.
I'm like,
we can DJ your wedding.
I'm just having your response. You hear birds fluttering. You're in love. I'm like, if you hear birds fluttering, you run. Those things are terrifying. I'm scared. Birds are not.
And then there's me. I would be taxidermying them. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a year. Let's just think of September as our spooktacular year.
Ooh.
I'm gonna try to throw that word.
Spooktacular month.
Whatever.
Is a spooktacular start to a spooktacular year?
Well, I think I love all things Halloween. And you guys been probably noticing on our Instagram, I've been posting things like Michael's. So I think that in September is our lead up to Halloween.
And I've already started celebrating Halloween.
Oh, yeah. So my house, I've been slowly creeping in Halloween stuff around.
Nice.
If you guys notice, like, my pillows and I've got things. Yeah. So Chris is kind of rolling his eyes at me. But whatever. So,
We digress. But we got some good spooky stories for y'all today.
Yep. And I'm excited about mine.
It's a good one.
Because I just discovered this one last week. Being from Toronto in Ontario and growing up, basically Niagara Falls a child, I never knew this place existed.
I don't think I did either.
No.
I might have heard of it in passing, but I never really put much stock into it.
So our wonderful new friend, Peter Sacco, is the one who actually took us to this place. And if you guys are not too familiar of Peter Sacco's work, I highly recommend check him out. He is a psychology background, but he also does a lot of stuff on the paranormal, like in... parapsychology.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of books out there.
A lot of stuff, produces a lot of content.
Yeah, he's got a couple
film
shows.
And television and
Niagara's Most Haunted, he had the show as well. It's pretty cool. So he took us to one of his favorite places in terms of beautiful aesthetics place, and I fell in love with it. And you guys did probably see it again on our Instagram if you guys do follow us. I will be talking about the Willowbank Mansion.
That's going to be awesome.
So, yeah, I just fell in love with this place in terms... I thought it reminded me a lot like New Orleans in terms
of... It did look a lot like that, yeah.
Like a Savannah, Georgia. It just feels... Because, you know, you drive up this avenue with all these beautiful willow trees just aligned everywhere. And you just... You drive up and it's just this beautiful big house.
It was.
So, without further ado, I'll be talking about the Willowbank Mansion.
That was a very pretty description, driving up with the willow trees.
It is so pretty. So I'll post more pictures so people can get a good look.
Also, I believe it's Brock University that's restoring it. So if you guys are from Brock University, let us know.
And I would love to do an investigation there.
That's awesome. Mine's going to be a bit shorter than yours because it was something that I didn't know about until a couple days ago. You mentioned you had heard of it before, but there's not a lot of information on it, and that's part of the mystery of this place. Mm-hmm. So I'll be covering the Marsh Ghost, which I'll get into my spiel about the naming of these ghost stories later.
Oh, yeah, and I was joking around Beth because I like to call it the Marché, like a French for March, Marsh.
Very well done.
Mash.
That's well done.
That's a teacher me. So,
I always sound like I'm like...
I don't know.
I can't do it.
I know. I try to do my faux French and it's really bad.
I just end up sounding like the chef from The Little Mermaid whenever I try, so I've just given up.
Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. Wrong movie. Never mind.
It's a hee-hee-hee. Oh, that sweet little delicious crab. I don't even think that's the right lyrics, but I don't care.
Or my favorite is The Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
Ah, en français. Sorry. That is my favorite.
We should do a whole episode on the conspiracy theory that The Simpsons actually created to predict the future so we don't go into shock when it actually happens.
Yep.
That's a whole other episode.
Yep. And I'm just thinking that, and that wheel is turning. Now I can't stop. Okay.
You're welcome. All right.
So like I said, Willowbank Mansion is this beautiful... gorgeous house. It is a Greek Revival mansion that was designed for the Hamilton family. His name was Alexander Hamilton. And no, not the Alexander Hamilton from Lin-Manuel Miranda. Not the same one.
Although that song is now stuck in your head,
I
know.
We were singing it on the way to it because we just could not help it.
Can't help it when you hear that now.
We were totally like geeking out on that, but whatever. So it was built in the 1830s for the Hamilton family, for Alexander Hamilton and his wife, Hannah Jarvis Hamilton. Now, you probably guys heard that name before, Hamilton. Yes, it is named after the city of Hamilton, which is one of our other favorite places. Mm-hmm. If you guys have never been to Hamilton, it's such a cool place. Like, historically, it's got cool places and architecture around there. It is stunning.
And the best donuts ever, Grace introduced me to.
Oh, man.
Was it called Donut Monster, was it?
Yes. Yeah. If you guys ever want to be our sponsors, please sponsor us. Like, I have no shame. I will tell you right now.
That tequila whatever donut I had was the best thing I've ever had. Sorry, Grace. I didn't mean to go out, but they were so good. I felt like we needed to shout them out.
Oh, no. Like,
unsponsored.
I've got a lot of my friends into Donut Monster there.
Yeah, you did. It was good.
It is Donut Monster in Hamilton, guys. I just love the name of it, but their donuts are off the chain. So Donut Monster, plug. If you guys want to sponsor us, please email us at scareperiod@gmail.com. So... on our way, we stopped in Hamilton, which is funny. We grabbed our staple donuts as we did a road trip to Niagara-on-the-Lake, where we met the lovely Peter Sacco, who did take us around to show us this place. He believes, like, okay, I'm going to show you guys the Niagara Falls I grew up with in Niagara-on-the-Lake that I grew up in. So he did take us to this place, and I was just taken away how beautiful this place was. And it's a stunning house. And like I said, when you drive up the willow banks and the trees, you just were taken back. You felt like you're in Savannah, Georgia. Like,
yeah.
Or I felt like I was back in New Orleans. So the house, like I said, was built for this family on this land. Now, the land, again, being from Niagara Falls and Niagara Lake, there's a lot of First Nations on there. Mm-hmm. So the family were not too sure about the land itself, where it stands. So there's still a little bit of issues. Ooh. I'm not too sure if I heard Peter say this correctly, but it'd be interesting to find out exactly who this land was. Because it was the 1800s, it was probably just farmland that was open up and people could, you know, bought it. So Alexander Hamilton was born on July 3rd, 1790 in Queenston, Ontario. Again, all areas there, Niagara-on-the-Lake. It's very close by. I think it's not too far from Niagara-on-the-Lake, Queenston.
I don't know.
Geographically? That word is hard. Geographically? I forget exactly how far it is from each other. I think it's like only a few kilometers. I forget.
I'll look it up.
So he was born to Robert Hamilton and Catherine Robertson. Alexander attended a school in Queenston and Niagara and was taken to Scotland in 1795 for further education. On his return to a short period at his father's business, for a short time before his father passed away in 1809. And after that, the business was given to his brother. His brother George were given this business after the father passed away. Unfortunately, these guys did not have a head for business. And they tried to keep this afloat for a while, but it basically went to financial ruin. And they basically had to close down the business shortly after. Alexander did serve in the war in 1812. Again, going back to or listen to our podcast before, if you guys listen to us. You guys can know about the history about the War of 1812 and where geographically. Again, I should try to probably post it to show people in terms of where.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Ontario, so people can see, for those who don't live in Canada, in Ontario, you can see where exactly War of 1812 and who where
that's
affected.
That's a really good idea.
So in 1816, Alexander married Hannah Jarvis. They had 8 children. And I believe when I was doing my research, I did hear, Peter did tell me that. Or what I heard was that they had 8 children, 8 to 10 children, and 2 of them did die in the house.
Aww.
Alexander, once again, he did serve a war in 1837, the Rebellion War. When he was working there, he was the holder of the office and the judge of the Old Niagara Courthouse and Jail.
Ooh, that's a pretty important
So he actually
gig.
Had, he had a pretty, even though he had a failure of, like, he did not have the head or the neck for business itself. He had like many positions, and like I said, being judge, he was also the sheriff once upon a time. So this guy did hold many hats, and he did wear many hats. So on December 1837, Hamilton embarked in the body of volunteers to help defend Toronto. It was part of the force which met William Lyon Mackenzie and his rebels. As sheriff of Niagara District, Hamilton was in charge by the provincial government with a gathering information on the persons in that region, and had the task which he was aided to such magistrates as George Riker of St. Catharines. So again, he held different jobs and different titles in the war. I think because he already served in the War of 1812, it was like automatically, okay, now you work in the government, we're kind of giving you this title. Hamilton did take part in the Guard of Niagara Falls, the frontier, and conduct an investigation of the Short Hill Raid. When an executioner failed to appear, before I even get into that, so they actually did catch a soldier, a rebel soldier named James Moreau, and he was held captive.
Okay.
And he was held prisoner. But because of the rebellion of what was going on, he was actually, because I think Moreau, he actually did kill somebody, and then Moreau was caught.
Okay.
He was sentenced.
Okay.
To death.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, they couldn't find an executioner. So it actually had to fall on Alexander's shoulder. He had the unfortunate task of performing the execution himself.
Oh.
So which he basically, I think it was July 30th in 1838, he had to hang Moreau.
Okay.
And unfortunately, apparently when I was reading like all these stories, he was asking everybody, he's like,
well, yeah, no one wants to do that.
Well, that's not his job as an executioner. Like, executioner has the skill set on to do this. They know how to do it fast and quickly.
Yeah,
really. You have somebody that's like me. It's like, okay, Grace, you are going to perform this, like, removing of this appendix.
It's interesting to see why they didn't just
shoot him. I guess execution was like, shooting? I'm not too sure if like that was
I don't know. I'm not an expert by any means, but I know the ammunition they used back in the day wasn't always the most the guns wasn't the most reliable, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why that would not have been. Why wouldn't they just wait though?
That's I don't know. And it's interesting because
if you are a historian, let us know. Hit us up.
Exactly. And maybe Peter knows that. I just wonder because this is before Canada became a country itself, right? So this is like in terms of like because of British. Yeah. So anyhow. I digress, and I just find it very interesting that this poor guy had a task.
So does this tie back to the house, or is this just like the creepy stuff that happens to him?
No, this ties back to the house.
Continue, I'm intrigued.
So he arranged the act of kindness apparently on Moreau that he dropped 18 feet before the rope snapped his neck. I have no idea what that means, and I don't know how that was nice. I'm just kind of confused. I'm like, 18 feet, and then just snapped his neck. Apparently, he was very distraught of what happened.
Well, yeah,
he went into full depression.
Yeah.
And then he died about a year later. But they said after he died, after the execution, he was very distraught. Again, went to full depression. People say he totally changed.
Really?
Got sick. And then shortly died a year later after Moreau's death.
Okay.
So I wasn't sure. I didn't find out exactly how he died. But it'd be interesting if he just died of some type of illness that just did take over him. Now, the ghosts of what we know are a few of them. So one, they say the children that did die apparently haunt. And these are different articles I've read. Do haunt the Hamilton house, but also too of his wife, Hannah, has known to be haunting this place. And again, they'll see things, they'll hear things. Again, we always talk about the woman in white, right? We always hear the story of the lady in white, but apparently once Hannah did die, she did take over this house. It was a large estate.
Yes.
Large house to take over, but she's tried to stay as long as she could. And because it was too much, she ended up having to sell the house because it got too expensive.
Yeah.
She had to sell the house, but her heart was in this house. Right? This was built for the family. This is where the kids were. Even the passing child, she still had memories in this house. And apparently, she still goes back to this house. And she's still tied to this house. So again, you hear the same things, you know, like you hear the piano. Well, we heard about the piano playing. You hear, like, people say the cold spots in some area. It'd be interesting to know about the people who work there now. And the staff from the Brock University, what they experience.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a different atmosphere and a different, because it's not a family, but it's an education system now that's there. But also the interesting thing, a source said that when they brought a psychic in there, the psychic actually saw the hanging of the soldier on the tree.
Right.
So she said when she drove up, she was right. She goes, she saw, the figure of that soldier hanging on the tree. So again, do I know which tree? No, because again, this place is like huge and it's got like willow trees everywhere.
Sorry, it's just like, sorry, I don't know why that I don't mean to be creepy. Like, do I know which tree? Does it matter? No.
I'd like to know which tree it is exactly. So we can go back and check it out. To see
at
if
that
that's
point
what
I think you'd have too much information. So if people would be it goes back to the whole, is it a residual haunting? Is it a haunting just because of everyone's energy coming through?
Or maybe if the tree's no longer there, maybe like it's just something. Anyhow, right. the lady did see the psychic, a well-respected psychic, said she did see the apparition of the hanging of the soldier.
I love it because Grace is so passionate. I was like, she's trying to convince me. And I'm like, I'm convinced.
Well, not so much I'm trying to convince, but I think it's interesting that, you know, of all things, usually it's always inside here.
Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah.
Of a ghost. And then that the spirit of this distraught soldier.
That's true.
Is outside.
That's true.
So, but Hannah says she is frequently in there. And it makes sense,
man. If the kids are there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I wanted. Because the two children did die in there.
Yeah.
That she's there because her children are there. That's why she can never go to rest. She's always going back. And cool fact, too, is that just not too far from the house itself, you have the Hamilton Cemetery, the cemetery plot, which is absolutely, we couldn't go in.
No.
Because
it's private property.
It's private property. And it's locked up, but we actually, there's images of it and you can actually see it there. And it just so how it's situated in the back. Obviously, we pay respects. We did not go in there because, again, it's not ours. It's private property.
Yeah.
The Jarvis, like I said, the house, the Hamilton house itself is public.
Yes, because it's part. Well,
it's part of the school, and you can still drive up to it because you can rent it out for weddings.
Rent it out for weddings and stuff.
So
why did we find out all these cool wedding venues after?
I know, but I just be interested. Like I said, like you have this lady that sits there, and again, we're going back to where you know original podcast is like, is it haunted or is it history? I truly think it is both because this place has had so much history.
Yeah.
It was built for love. It was built for a family. They did have good times. They did have bad times. She did have to sell it. She, even though she didn't want to sell it because, you know, it was hard to maintain this house, she did have to sell it because for her to raise all these kids, and she had no source of income. And so many kids, so many mouths to feed. She did have to sell it. So I'm sure literally a part of her physically and like in spiritual did die in that house, and she is attached to this house.
That's interesting.
So it's this cool story of that this attachment of the mother and this wife that really love this house is still there. That's, you know, and that's beautiful. Her husband did build the house for the family. So yeah. It's just, there's a lot of love. I think this house is a house that was built by love and for a family. Yeah. And it's the coolest place. So yeah. And that is
that's the really story beautiful, of Hamilton Grace. House. It started kind of creepy and kind of, I was kind of squirmy, but it turned around to like very beautiful.
I could have gone on about Alexander Hamilton. Yeah. He does have a very interesting life and who he was.
Do another episode on him.
On the whole Alexander Hamilton.
Beautiful.
And then I can start singing Hamilton. The musical.
We can't afford it.
I know. Residual license. We can sing it. Don't we just can't play the music.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We can do that. We won't get it.
Absolutely.
Oh, don't tempt me. Don't tempt me. I know that whole rap. Because there's nothing cooler than me trying to rap.
White girl trying to rap the song. So, yeah, I will.
That was really beautiful, Grace. That was really nice.
Thanks. Yeah. I love because I wrote it. That was a cool story, but no, I'm just intrigued by, again, the history of this place. Yeah. I actually fell in love how beautiful this house was.
You should post some pictures because it was
I did post pictures on Instagram.
Oh my gosh, sorry.
And I would love to go in and take a picture of the piano because that's where, what's the story of the piano again? They said apparently that's where
it plays.
It just plays. And that's why I want to know, again, because of the little children. Is it Hannah or is it the children that's playing? Or again, it's just residual of good memories of the piano playing during good times and, you know, Christmases and family get-togethers.
Maybe. Oh, just on a side note, if you do go to check it out, as Grace highly recommends, there is a mannequin in the window when we went once. So don't get freaked out. It was an actual mannequin. Not a...
Because it's still deemed as a historical site. Mm-hmm. Again, you can rent it out for weddings. So I do recommend if you're getting married. Yes. Those people who got who are hooked up because of our podcast.
I like the way that you're making this full circle. This is fabulous. Oh,
and just want to know and let you guys know, FYI, I actually am ordained to actually remember I got my license.
That's right, you did.
Uh-huh.
I think you can have a little side hustle.
Yeah.
Spooky weddings by Grace.
Oh my gosh.
For a spectacular vow.
I'll be like that creepy guy from Beetlejuice that married them.
Oh yeah.
That little short guy, that big head. I can be like that. Justice
side
of the Peace.
Hustles. I think you can do this, Grace.
Justice of the Dead.
Justice of the Unresting in Peace.
That'd be very cool.
That'd be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, now we're actually like, can she?
I think Grace could do this. My wheels are turning right now. I'm like, huh, can I make money out of this?
I think you could.
This could be my side hustle.
Your side hustle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Along with, there we go.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful message, a side hustle for you. This was a good
episode. A little segue to...
I'm going to feel woefully inadequate now.
I wish I could just get, like, more. I wish, like I said, all these stories, they're not, like, super scary haunted. And it's not a scary haunting place.
No, but it's important. Like you said, it's an important part of our history.
Yeah.
A person who's an important part of our history, like...
Mm-hmm. Fought in two wars.
Yeah.
1812 and then the rebel.
Yeah.
Will and Mackenzie. So... Because it's just handshaking.
Canadian history is really weird, and I kind of dig that.
The history is weird?
Yeah, we have a
weird... Oh, Canadian history is...
We're filled with so many characters, it's like...
And so many, like, internal, like riffs?
Yeah, it's very...
And now, for some random Canadian facts.
The politicians can be a little bit...
That is true. Okay. Get them out of that, then we're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited about yours now, because...
All right, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yours is a... The marché goes?
I'm gonna.
Can you just call it different? Can you just say like marsh, marché, mash?
Well, the island where it takes place is called. I'm gonna butcher this. I'm so sorry, everybody. Mills Rocher was the island.
Nailed it.
Oh, did I get it right?
I don't know.
Just saying it.
Oh, thank you. I felt the thanks. Hey, listen, if we believe in this, if we tell our students they can believe themselves,
that's true.
You can do the same. Just try your best.
All right, here goes Evan. So I'm going to talk about the Marsh Point ghost, which in true Beth style isn't even about a ghost. It's about a possible alien sighting.
I want to know what, well, There's some theories. Okay, go on. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go into. There's a couple, couple theories.
But I'm interested because like I heard about this, but I don't know the full story. So I feel like I should have popcorn. Do go on.
All right, so I'm going to give you a little bit of a background because later when my cynical self kicks in, it'll kind of tie back a bit. So cynical. Sorry. So the name Mil Roche means thousand rocks in French, apparently. And the information I got this from is from the actual historical website, lostvillages.ca, where they have all the information, but I'll get into why it's a lost village later. And it referred to the rocky deposits along the Long Sioux Rapids, and which is known for, I'm sure you're ready for this one, limestone. Oh. Large limestone quarries. So basically, as early as the 1970s, these other word for mines, quarries were the most, like, they were really going. And by 1830, it was, like, growing. The village was having convenient access to the water power right by the water. So there was mill spring up left, right, and center. They had, like, a marble factory, a cutting mill, a carding mill, clothing works. And very exciting, they got a post office, which was, like, a big deal.
Oh.
That was, like, a big hub. But then in 1834, the construction of the Cornwall Canal began. So the canal was about 18 kilometers long, and it started at Cornwall Harbor and traveled westward through Mil Roche and through all these lost, quote-unquote, villages, which was great for travel, but the construction crew at the quarry turned out to be much larger than originally planned, and the rapids were consuming all the wood, leaving very little fuel for the businesses in that area. So the canal building company came in, took up all the resources. The little mom and pop mills, all that started to really struggle because they had no resources.
It's like the Amazon of our, like, of our days now.
Right? Yeah.
That sounds like exactly what's happening.
Exactly. And just like today, villagers became understandably furious. They were getting ticked off. Like,
please say there's pitchforks and fire. Please say there's pitchforks and fire.
I didn't see an official picture of that, but in my head, you know, it was there.
Pitchforks and fire.
So they did start pleading their case with the commissioner, and they started demanding that bridges and restitution for lost income and property value
legit be kept in there.
They didn't get anywhere, though. They got nowhere. Finally, 35 villagers led by George Robertson, a respected mill owner, took their case to the legislature and secured kind of like a partial victory. They received restitution, but no bridges. So by the late 1840s, it was on a definite downward slide as a result of the canal debacle. And it was becoming so critical. Like, it was really, really getting bad. And this is despite the fact that they still had black limestone, which was one of the most highly prized kind of limestones, I guess, around. It was, like, a big deal. And they continued to support several mills and a couple of stores, but it just looked really, really, really bleak. And it wasn't until the railway arrived in the mid-1850s that it kind of got back on its feet.
Okay.
That's kind of the little history about it.
Yes.
How does this
fit? Did it have hangings like mine did?
I don't know, because mine
had soldiers hanging, so yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yours is totally better, I'm not going to lie.
Okay, no, it's not.
Yours is totally better. But I thought it was appropriate, because all of this creepiness started back in September of
1845. Oh!
What is this Marsh Point ghost, you say?
No. Marché.
The Marché. So the Marché Point Ghost.
Oh, Marché.
But I feel like I'm a French, like the snobby French reader that you see on the TV shows. Marché Point Ghost, it does not exist. Would you like some water?
That sounds very Monty Python.
So basically, it was referred to as the Marsh Point Ghost because strange lights started showing up around the old farmhouse. So there's an old farmhouse, and in it lived two older women. One lady who was only referred to in my research as Granny Marsh, who was 80, I kid you not, and her daughter Claire, who was 60. Now, these two ladies were known not, they didn't really leave their farmhouse too often, just to go over to Mil Roche for their, like, supplies once in a blue moon. So what happened was a farmer was walking along the canal opposite of this little lake where they're from, and he saw all these lights around. And he was like, oh, man, something bad must have happened. Tomorrow morning I'll go over and, you know, offer my condolences or see if they're okay. So he goes over and he says, man, I saw all the lights going around your house yesterday, you know. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And they were just, no, nothing happened last night. And they actually found it really funny, thinking this guy had seen all this stuff.
What year is this again?
1845.
1845, he saw all these lights around.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're thinking like they're having like a rave outside or something.
Well, no, like if can you imagine? But like if like you know like lanterns,
yeah, lanterns and stuff, like yeah. Thing, yeah.
So they were basically like they thought it was kind of funny that they thought people were wandering around their house after dark, and you know just kind of because it's a small area, they know everyone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which would have been okay. You can brush that off. Mm-hmm. But then every night after that, lights started to appear. It got to the point where the village and the community actually set up a watch where they would have two people outside the farmhouse going in shifts, like in pairs, so two of them replaced by two, to keep an eye to see what would happen. Creepy thing is, nobody around the farmhouse saw anything, only the people across the canal did.
What?
Yeah.
So it's like a trickery of the lights or whatever. So
that's
like-
what I'm thinking. But it gets weirder. Like, they saw, like, all these lights and... There was a CBC newscaster named Rex Lambert who did a report on it in the 1960s. And it's a great report. I'm going to link it up. You can actually listen to it. But he said a lot of these witnesses attributed a lot of very human-like patterns and behavior to it. It looks like they were playing tag one day. It looks like they were making circles, large, because they were moving so fast. It made like a giant, think like Doctor Strange, like one of those circle-y things.
Yeah.
One of those. The one that seemed to, like it didn't quite fit was that a bunch of people said they saw what looked like kind of like a big open fire oven and people running back and forth with like loaves of bread. Right? That's what this is my thing. I was like right with them until that one. And then he also comments.
Sorry. That is funny.
Right?
I was like, breath.
That was kind of the odd one out of it all. I think that's kind of like that one person who really wants to be a part of it.
Yeah, part of it, exactly. Right? Like, yeah, man, it was bread.
Totally bread.
Bread, yeah.
The other one that I loved was that the lights tend to stay around the house. But in this one case, a bunch of them kind of went down to the water's edge, and then one light went across the water, climbed up a really tall tree, like it was like a sailor looking out of the crow's nest,
uh-huh.
Came back down, went back across the lake to the house, and at which point all the other lights kind of congregated around that one light. As Rex Lambert said, he didn't say this, but he quoted someone saying, like, a group of gossips waiting to get the news. Or, like, a bunch of neighbors who were welcoming back someone who had been gone away.
Mm-hmm.
So this continued, and it just continued to escalate and escalate. And then eventually noises started becoming attributing, too. Mm-hmm. So there were sounds like explosions and things like that. Sound like not actual explosions, but sounds of explosions, knocking, things like that. And when it really started to frighten the two ladies was when the noises started being heard inside the house, but in unoccupied rooms. Now, at that point, everyone was like, y'all need to get out. Let's go. You need to move away from this house. But after a while, the women realized it wasn't hurting them in any way. It was just kind of there. So they decided to stay. The weirdest thing about this all was that it continued for the month of September and a little bit into October. But once winter came, it stopped.
What?
And it didn't happen again.
Oh, I know why.
You have a theory?
I do.
Do you want to tell me now or do you want, should I finish?
It's because we have Canadian weather. Aliens don't like Canadian weather.
It's true.
Even the aliens like,
no,
screw this crap. Peace out. And they left.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Explain. I like this. Yeah. I like this theory.
Yeah.
So there was a witness who was by the New Dominion newspaper, and he was only identified as J.H. McM. And he personally interviewed many people who saw the lights. And in his opinion, he thought it was unlikely that it would be a hoax because it would take a large amount of people and machinery to get that effect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what was the point of doing that in a random area just to freak out two old ladies?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But now I know everyone's saying, well, why don't you just go back and like check out the island? Grace is crazy, likes to do stuff like that. Beth likes to go along for the ride. Why haven't you gone there? Why haven't other people gone there? Well, it's because they're a part of the Lost Villages. When the St. Lawrence Canal opened up, they basically sunk these islands to create a lake to get the water flowing. So,
like quarries almost?
Kind of. It's I'm not explaining
I'm just,
this right.
No, but no, I'm just picturing like a yeah. quarry.
It's more like a lake. They like artificially made a lake.
Yeah, which is very common.
The people got no say in it too. They were just like, oh, by the way, out you go. But basically in 1958, these villages were just lost. Just all flooded. So the only way you're going to get a chance now to go check out these islands is to don your scuba gear and
swim over.
I don't even know if you're allowed to do that, to be honest with you. But yeah, so they're all underwater. There's about a whole bunch of them.
Wow.
So no one can go to research this now. Huh. So the skeptic in me kind of thinks it wouldn't be the first time in Ontario that someone talked about ghostly stuff to kind of pull some attention. Because in the 1840s, they were on the decline. They were trying to get attention for their mm-hmm. plight mm-hmm. and legislation. So part of me is kind of like, could be a hoax. And then the town could be in on that.
I was thinking more of like if it's like a swamp, and so this swamp gas,
the gases,
desimus, yeah. Smells, and sometimes sulfur like kind of like lights. I have heard like it does do that. So I was automatically thinking about like, and again, do I know? No. I'm like, this can legit be something because we've heard, you know, we think of Falcon Lake, but the Beatles.
I was thinking of that your entire time.
Every day. But yeah, it'd be interesting to know. And like, if there's credible sources, and like at CBC again, they don't just cover anything. Like they just actually look into this kind of stuff, like this phenomena.
So yeah. And so when I first heard about this, I thought, oh, it was going to be a story about the flooding of the lakes because, you know, mm-hmm. people not given a choice. They're going to flood it to make the St. Lawrence River bigger. And if you go to lostvillages.ca, they actually can hook you up with ghost tours of the area. That's focusing amazing. On that, which is really cool. So I was kind of a bit taken aback when I saw, they thought it might have been like an alien.
I like your theory, though, about because the economic situation of this community, if it was just something they decided to collaborate, mm-hmm. this phenomenon, you know, like they did back in the day when the whole table tipping and everything to get attention.
Yeah.
And I think back at Salem witch trials when the girls were just looking for attention and they're just accusing things, they're making up things.
And it's not unheard of. I mean, we covered that story earlier in the year about Canada's quote-unquote oldest haunting, which had people coming up from the States to get a look at it. And even in the 1920s, giving tours on with boats going by being like, that's creepy Canada.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. So if you have any more information on this, let me know. Because in the 1960s, when the CBC reporter contacted the people in the area, they were like, I've never heard of this. What are you talking about? We've never heard of this before.
That's interesting.
So it was, I might have that wrong. I will correct that if I'm wrong on that one, but I'm pretty sure that's...
I'd be interested to find out this. And and it was only for a short period too, which is...
Very short period, a couple months.
But that being said too, aliens are known sometimes just only frequent for a short period in one location, one area for a short time before it stops and then disappears and never comes back again.
So you never know.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, it's 1800s. How credible are the sources?
That's a whole historical debate because oral history was so much stronger back in the day.
Well, because people were literate. People couldn't write.
Yeah.
People didn't have the means to write down stuff.
But a lot of it's gone now too because it's all underwater. So then my other conspiracy theory kicks in. I'm like, did they really need to flood that? Or are they covering up something? So I don't know.
There's many questions.
That's the thing I love about history. A lot of people tend to think, like, just attribute people in history of not being, like, as aware or as interesting as they are today. It's like, no, guys, they were even more. Like, I would not put it past people who have conspiracy theories back in the day.
Well, okay, so as you're going, I just remember, you know, like, as I go back to the story of the Hamilton House, like I said, you know, people still say, like, being scary, like I said, the well-known ghost in there for sure is of Hannah, you know, still... being at this house and what happened to her, but also to the piano, right? And people said, because you get attached to something, right? And again, memories. And I said, so people will get freaked out by something that's so innocent. And so, like, again, we're going back to the historical part, right? We're not, and this is a great story, and this is why I covered it, because it's not a scary story. It's nothing terrifying. But the cool thing about my story is that we actually have credible sources who've actually seen things at this location, who's actually got pictures.
Yeah.
But with yours, it's interesting because who knows?
Yeah. Sorry, I just want to correct one thing. It was actually Jim Brunel, who was a Lost Village Historical Society president, mm-hmm. who said, I've never heard a word of any of this before. It wasn't the 1960s interview, so I apologize on that. Because if I am nothing, if I want to stay appropriate and
correct. You want to say accurate.
Yeah. But this is the whole thing too about credibility too, I find really interesting. Because a lot of things that people who are in the paranormal consider credible,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people outside
are aloofs. There's a lot of people who are aloof.
But more scientists, and I find that's really interesting. Like people consider themselves psychic or clairvoyant. A lot of people will be like, I don't find that credible until there's science to back it up. But it's really interesting with quantum physics now, how the doors are open for scientific connection. So it'll be really interesting in the next couple of years to see where that goes. Sorry, nerd.
No, and I was going to say, no, because, and Because you're not off topic at all, because that's what we have this podcast about. Like, that's why we're here. So, again, we're looking at, is it haunted or is it history, right? And it's true. Like you said, with science now backing up, and they're working with parapsychologists because, you know, everything is energy. Yeah. Energy does not die. Once we die, energy does not stop moving. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to know, he said, now with scientists working, like you have these great engineers like the Bill Chappells of the world who are creating these amazing technologies and the tools for us to capture and see the paranormal.
Like even myself, I'm still a bit of like, when someone says like the psychic credible witnesses, I kind of do a little half smirk and I got to check myself because I'm still a little bit.
And which is good.
Like, yeah.
Which is good. Again, you know how with me though. I have to see it in order to believe it.
Yeah.
Again, this is why we have this podcast. Mm-hmm. And again, you guys, and Beth laughs because she says, I'm the first one to go want to do an investigation because, again, because that is my skeptical side because I need to see it in order to believe it. I need to have the firsthand accounts. I need to actually physically see it or physically be touched for me to actually say, yeah, this place is haunted.
And then there's me. I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
Beth doesn't want to go. Even though she's like a skeptic, she's still kind of freaked out though. So, which is good.
No, it's not so much freaked out as it's like, if it is true, why would I want to mess with it? Like, I'm going to let it be. I don't need to bring dark crap near me.
Well, it depends. We're not going to be doing a Ouija on satanic worship.
No, but if it's an area that's known for having like creepy bad stuff happen.
I agree. I don't like to go in places like that.
Yeah. I'm more of a conspiracy theorist anyway.
Yeah, she is. And then there's me. I'm like, you say it's haunted. Do tell me.
I'm like, hold on. Let me get my tinfoil hat while they tell me.
And then there's me. I'm like bringing my EMF. Okay. Let's see if this place is actually legit.
It's just my tinfoil hat setting it off.
I know.
Ding, ding. That's why I think this podcast works. It's different views,
That different stuff for different folks.
In the moment, I totally believe everything until 10 minutes after, then I can calm down. But in the moment, everything's haunted.
But you do, and I'm going to say this, guys, Beth does have a really good instinct, even though she doesn't like to think she does. But she does get feelings. And I think those are more than anything we should be listening to those.
See, but I think it's interesting, too, because part of me, especially after talking with James and Peter, I'm like, how much is that is just people picking up on subtle changes in the environment around them?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something otherworldly? Is it, like, do we just pick up on facial cues? Do we pick up on, it's fascinating.
Well, it's funny you say that because when Peter did drop me off, I'm not going to tell this one disclosed location because it is the one area that Beth knows I'm going to be talking about. All I'm going to say, it's basically the Ontario's version of The Conjuring and Amityville House. And that's all I'm going to say. And
It was pretty creepy.
It is creepy.
So even aesthetically, it was just like, yeah, I'm good.
Fortunately, it is boarded up.
Yeah.
It is basically derelict house.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you think of a derelict house, if this will be
that would be it. Everything boarded up. Anyhow, so our friend, he did say, I'm going to drop you off. I'm going to let you kind of like figure it yourself. And I told Beth again, after he asked me, he's like, well, how did you feel? I said, again, I'm not too sure if I was just picking up the emotions of what you told me, the stories, because I already previously knew what this house was about. I knew the stories about it. So I think I already had the anticipation of how to feel.
And I just want to say I really appreciate about that too. You're very honest about your biases entering into things and stuff. So like, kudos to you for that. Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. Yeah, thank you. But that's exactly why I'm like, it's the healthy skeptic in me. I'm like, okay, I'm not sure if this is because you told me this. So I was anticipating to feel or to hear or see something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, or is it something I'm truly genuinely picked up? Because I've had like legit paranormal experiences where I was touched.
Yeah.
Like the Shanley Hotel, which you actually have to sign a waiver before you go, and you actually have to sign a waiver before you get to spend the night there. And, you know, so I've been to places like that. And like in Iron Island where the five of us, we saw and we heard it, and we, hands of God, we're the only five in there. And we actually heard, like, till this day, that area and that location has stuck with me because I had a profound experience there. Yeah. And again, I was physically there to witness it.
Yeah.
Auditory and visually. And I had four other witnesses to say, we got freaked out because never have I ever seen like that. I've had that experience.
Maybe you can explain this. Here's the thing with the haunted hotels I don't get. Totally get wanting to go in and investigate them. But when I want to sleep, I want to sleep. Like, yeah. I love sleep. Why the hell would you stay overnight there? Why? Or like, I get why you stay overnight if you're awake. But to sleep, like, why wouldn't you stay off property so you can get a good night's rest?
I know.
Sorry. Totally off topic. No. I just...
I agree. I
have a question about that.
But with that being said, I really want to go to the Stanley Hotel in Colorado.
Right. Shanley and Stanley are two different ones, right? Yeah.
Shanley Hotel is
in New
York. I know
I lisp and stir a little.
The Stanley Hotel is in Colorado.
Okay.
In Estes Spring, Colorado. That's okay. Where Stephen King got his inspiration to write my favorite movies and my favorite book, The Shining. So...
How do you feel about the sequel that's coming up for The Shining then?
You cannot replace Jack Nicholson. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He is just one of those actors.
Are they going to try to bring his character back in, or is it more just as a young boy now that he's grown up?
I don't know. Like, to me, The Shining is Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson is The Shining. Do you know what I mean? Like, the whole movie is based around his experience in this character. He's the one who's being possessed, right? So it'll be interesting to see, you know, Danny as an adult now of what happened to him. Because I always wonder that. I'm like, this poor kid psychologically.
Right, what happened after?
Pretty messed up. Like.
That's the movies I want to see. What happened to these poor people?
The aftershock. Like in Ghost Adventures, the aftershock. Like, I would like, I wonder how much their therapy bill is. And if they have any stable relationships. And with that being said, because I'm obsessed, you know, I am with my serial killers and the whole behavior analysis. Like, I'm just totally obsessed with that. And been immersing myself and reading so many books on it that, you know, it's interesting to see his relationships as an adult.
Right.
With other people, because most people who have, and it's interesting, if you guys ever watch Mindhunter.
Obsessed, finished, been watching it in 2 days.
It is a best show.
It's incredible.
So, and I love because you look at all the characteristics and all the connections that all psycho killers have, right? That all these sociopathic and these serial killers all have a very tumultuous relationship with a parent.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's interesting. And so anyhow.
Sorry, and just a shout out for like people who do watch Mindhunter. I'm not as into the whole, I find the psychology of it interesting. I do have family members who are in law enforcement. So for me, the thing about Mindhunters that I found really interesting was the effect it took on their personal lives and family and how they didn't shy away from
That's all I thought about as I'm watching. It's like, how is this not, how has, what's his name, not, like, Holden had a breakdown. Sorry.
Right.
Spoiler alert, guys. But it's,
and the amount of the other episode that got me, too, it's so true, the amount of paperwork and bureaucracy that happens.
Like teaching. Like,
No, it's true, though, but it was refreshing to see, like, an actual show where they're not just, like, one case at a time, this and that. So I don't mean to take away from the creepy part, but I just had to be, like,
That's you have to do more of a golf clap.
Yeah, the slow golf. You can tell I'm not good at the sporting. I don't know how to clap.
I have a friend who actually does the slow clap. For no reason. Just
that's amazing.
Kind of does this whole slow clap.
So what are you going to do now until Mindhunter season 3 comes out?
I don't know. Find a show. If you guys have any good suggestions, please. Yeah. Because, oh my God. So at the time. So the other night I went to bed like by close to 2 o'clock in the morning and I was binge watching and like just finishing season 2 of Mindhunter. And I went to sleep right after watching it.
Oh, no.
I had pretty messed up dreams.
I can imagine.
And then Chris was like, maybe you shouldn't watch a show about serial killers before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
But it was
but
like
then again,
terrifying.
You're you. You go to like creepy haunted places and sleep.
I used to work in a funeral home.
Yeah. So you.
So, but
if anyone could do it, it would be you.
Yeah. It was like, it wasn't terrifying. It was just a very interesting dream I had.
You'll have to tell me more off air.
I know.
But it goes back to, like you said, it's not the ghosts that are scary, it's people.
Yes.
People are creepier than anything paranormal, I think.
Yes. And that's a funny thing. So what we used to do our light when I was back in the day, when I used to do my more investigations and we used to go to these places, I'm more terrified of security and the humans than I am of the dead.
Right.
Because even though they can do that, can still mess you up and they can throw stuff at you, which I believe. But I got touched again. Can't explain that one. I still cannot explain that one. And this is the reason why Beth laughs. This, again, why I want to go to these places, because I've had experiences there. I want to find out how and find out why it happened. And, that's why we do this podcast. But, again, going back, is it history or haunted? You know, your story is a great example of is it history or is it haunted?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just the history, oral history, that's created this, quote-unquote, UFO monster?
Right.
Or... is it the humans who actually created this because of what they wanted and what they needed in order to be noticed.
This is the one that gets me, is because there's no answer.
Yeah.
Is it science from the water and the mining mixing together in this weird perfect storm? Mm-hmm. Is it a tourist trap? Is it actually the, like, Dr. Stephen Strange making his fun little air traffic controller
circles? Beth is actually doing this, like, the movements right now, and I love it. Yeah. I'm just waiting for, you know. I'm waiting for Benedict Cumberbatch to come out.
It's going
to
drive me crazy, though. Oh, keep doing that. If that's the case, I'm just going to sit here and do this forever.
But that's the thing with my story. It wasn't, you know, huge. It wasn't a very big story. It's not a very scary story. There's not a lot of ghosts in it. There's no profound, you know, ghost stories. But these are actually legit stories that people have had. And there's pictures. And there's like, this is crazy. This place is actually historically known to be haunted.
That's wild.
And again, talk about the perfect storm, you know? Yeah. Like, she lost her family. She had lost children. And she had to leave this house. She didn't want it. She loved this place.
Yeah.
She couldn't keep it. And so, would you not go back to somewhere you love?
It's true. That always made so much more sense to me. Go back.
Where you love, right?
Yeah. Be interesting to talk to these people more and see if they think it's a residual or if it's an intelligent haunting.
Well, the piano playing, so really fast, I'm just going to tell you, so I forgot to tell you this, is that apparently a lot of the students, they use this place now for like an art kind of place, and they use this for different facilities for Brock. They said students nearby they'll hear the music playing. The most report is that the parlor's empty and quiet, but few have seen something like a woman hunched over the piano keys. As if knowing the students are watching, she stops playing and then gets up and walks across the room. And then you see this, what they believe is Hannah, just to vanish in the hallway.
That's wild.
Yeah.
It freaks me out too, because this is so, like, it was right under our noses. And we just didn't even.
It's been under radar. Like, again, I have been obsessed with the paranormal, guys. Like I said, as a child, go to the library and I get my books on ghosts. Like, I eat, breathe. I just love this. I've always been fascinated. How I never took this into a career, I don't know.
Because it wasn't an option back when.
I know. A pair of psychology, I would have totally been like Dr. Venker. Like, I would have been one of the Ghostbusters.
What do you think about podcasting even exists when we started college? Or it was just starting?
No, it just, well, it's been 13, 14 years podcasts have been around. So.
Okay.
So, I don't know. So, we use this and we use this as a tool and as a platform for us to look at our beautiful place, which we call Canada. And again, guys, it is not boring. We've got so much history here. There's so many cool things that have happened. And the more we talk about this, the more I want people to say, like, hey, that's interesting. I never knew. I'm going to get a book and read it.
Stop. American history is cool, but get back into the Canadian. We're just as interesting.
Yeah. With that being said, we actually have a pretty cool guest coming up.
We do. I'm so excited.
And should we tell them?
I don't know. Okay, let's tell them.
Okay, so.
Oh, but what if it doesn't happen? What if something comes up?
Well, he's going to definitely be on.
Okay.
So we are super excited, guys. We are so stoked about this. So next episode coming out for episode 25, we're actually going to have a special guest, Patrick Keller from My Big Seance. I'm sorry, Big Seance. He is this amazing podcaster. If you guys, if you don't know about him, he's based in the States. He's an educator. Mm-hmm. He's a fellow teacher himself. He lives in Missouri, and he's just a great podcast. Like, I think the reason why I also started this podcast is because of people like him who openly talk about experiences and doing the paranormal, get into the paranormal. So he's actually going to be on our show.
We are so excited. That being said, if you have any questions for Patrick, email it to us at scareberia@gmail.com.
Or Instagram.
Or Instagram us, or hit us up on the face page, as the kids are calling it.
Fache book. I like Fache Book.
It just makes me sound like, it sounds like you're saying something bad and it makes me laugh every time.
I know. Or Twitter. You can also find us on Twitter. Yeah, we're so excited. So that is going to be episode 25. It's going to be Patrick. So we're so excited, guys. We're super stoked about this. Like a little kid right now.
Yeah.
I know. So
we're both kidding. We really need to start videotaping these.
Nobody wants to see my face. Nobody wants to see that. So again, thank you for sticking with us and listening to episode 24, guys. Again, as you heard Beth said, please do reach us on all facets of
the social media. The
social medias. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and email. Yeah. And with that being said, stay spooky, stay awesome, and get out there. Go do research on our amazing country backyard that we have, and there's so much cool history here. And remember, again, is it haunted or history? So stay spooky. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.